Oh, beloved, what a day this is as we gather together with our preschool children. I want to thank you, those of you who are parents and grandparents and friends and relatives who give us the privilege and joy of making a difference in the lives of these children. It has been a joy doing devotions for them every Monday morning at 9:30. The devotion goes to about 9:32. You can imagine their attention span is not that long, but it has been a joy leading them in devotions, praying with them as they pray together with me. It is a privilege to hear them call me by name. Some of them call me Pastor Bruce. Some of them call me Pastor Allen. A few call me God. That is not correct. If you hear your child calling me God, remind them that that's a nice sentiment, but no. We have devotions every morning with the preschool staff, and I remind the staff that they have an immense privilege and honor to invest themselves in the lives of these children. Parents and grandparents, you are the first and greatest teachers your children will ever have. They learn to walk, they learn to talk, they learn to eat, they learn to change their clothes, they learn to socialize, they learn to argue and how to reason by watching you. They will do what you do. Think about that. They will do what you do. But you have also given us the privilege of investing ourselves in their lives as well. We know what we teach our children. My question to you is, I want to turn it around and say, what on earth do your children teach you? There's a reason why I ask that. In the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus was standing there one day and his disciples walked up to him and said, Jesus, tell us, who is the greatest in heaven? I imagine they wanted to understand what they needed to do to become the greatest in heaven. What kind of accomplishment must I do? What must I memorize? What kind of book do I have to follow? Can you give me cliff notes to it so I can understand how I can become the greatest in heaven? So Jesus invited a child to stand among them and say, unless you change and become like this child, you will no way enter the kingdom of heaven. And I imagine those disciples were shocked. They say, wait a minute, we've spent our whole lives trying to stop to be being like this child. We have grown up. But God in God's wonderful topsy-turvy way of thinking said, no, you've got to be reborn. You've got to start from square one and become like children again. So we have teachers who are now downstairs, these children, who can teach us a lot about how to become like a child again. What can children teach us? I think children have a wonderful sense of what is wonderful. They have a sense of wonder and awe about things that we call ordinary. Peter, Paul, and Mary sang a song some years back entitled Right Field. Any of you know that song? I'm not asking you to sing it. I know that song. I just don't want to sing it. It's a marvelous song for those of us who have no skills whatsoever in athletics. In Little League, kids who can't bat or run or catch or understand baseball, they put them in right field because nothing ever comes out to right field. And the tagline to the song says, playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward and you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field just watching the dandelions grow. And I was that kid in right field. And as I think about that song, the word that jumped up to me and has not for a while is dandelions. We're going to be seeing dandelions soon. And do you want to know what separates a child from an adult? It's dandelions. Think about this. Dandelions are these wonderful little things. They pop out of the grass. They have this wonderful little white thing there, right? And the child says, this is marvelous. All the rest is just green, but this thing has popped out, and they pull it out of the ground. And what do children do with it? They blow on it. And they watch these wonderful little things fly off. What are those things?
Seeds.
Those are seeds. So your child is infecting the rest of your yard with dandelions. So 2 weeks from now, there will be hundreds of them that they can run out and go. That's the difference between a child and an adult. A child loves dandelions. An adult says, boy, what are you doing? I'm trying to get rid of those things. Blow them in the neighbor's yard. That you can do. Take them over and blow them on the neighbor's yard. Children see joy in the simplest things. Things that we find ordinary. I'm grateful for the joy and wonder of a child's eyes. And I regret the fact that much of that I have lost. I want to go back to those days that I can see joy and wonder in simple things. Children have that sense of joy and wonder about simple things. They also are blind to the prejudices that you and I have. Children are not born with prejudices. And now I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a moment. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling because this is real important to me. And I'm speaking to no one but myself, but y'all can listen in if you wish. Prejudice is one of the ugliest words, I think, in the English language. It is a lazy word. It is a hateful word. It is a word that says, I don't want to get to know you as a person. So I want to find out something about you I don't like. It may be your color. It may be your age. It may be where you came from. It may be who you vote for. It may be your basketball team. Whatever it is, but as soon as I find out that there's something about you I don't like, I can stop right there and say, I don't like that person. It's a horrible thing to have. But our children are not born that way. They're taught to be prejudiced from us. Children are born welcoming one another. They don't care about whether you're Democrat or Republican. They don't care if you're Baptist or Methodist or Muslim or atheist. They don't care if you're gay or if you're straight. They don't care. They just know you're a friend. That's all they know. And our children can teach us. Our children are blunt. Let's be honest. Children do not master subtlety for the next 10 years, and they become subtle. If children don't like what they are eating, what will they say? Yuck. Yuck, right? If they don't like your hair color, what will they say? I didn't think that blue was a color of hair. That's what they say. Children tell you the way it is, but children are also brutally honest in seeing the best in people. My daughter, now 28 years old, a mother of a 13-month-old daughter, taught me something at the age of 8 about prejudice. My prejudice. And this is a situation, if you're interested, I'd love to sit and talk with some of you about this to see how you would have handled it any differently. We lived in a community years ago where there was a convenience store across the street from where we lived, and gentlemen would go to that convenience store and buy their fortified wine in their little paper bags, and they would come over to our yard. We had a stone wall out in front of our house, and they would sit on our stone wall and drink their wine. And sometimes if they drank too much of their wine, they would pass out in our yard. This is serious. I'm not making this up. It was an interesting dynamic there. And I had two daughters at the time, ages 8 and 4. And we weren't worried about the 4-year-old because she didn't wander out by herself, but the 8-year-old, the extrovert, Stephanie, never knew a stranger. So I talked to her about these gentlemen. I said, we don't know what type of person these individuals are. We don't know if they're safe. We don't know if they're not safe. We don't know if they're happy or sad or angry or could hurt you. So please do me a favor. Don't associate with them. Don't go where they are. You know what happens when you say don't to a child? One day I was raking leaves in the front yard. It was fall, and I could hear my daughter's angelic voice, and I looked to the left, and there she was standing by this man with a bottle in his hand. And she said, "Daddy, this is a nice man. He's not at all like you said he was." It took me a while to respond to that in a way that I felt comfortable responding. And I just asked her to come inside. And as I have looked back, I realized that she cut me to the bone, because she showed me that I was guilty of prejudice. People are people. We're all broken in different ways, some more than others, but we're all broken. And we all have things about us that we're not happy about, and we all have areas of our life that we regret. And there have been some people that I have invested my life in that I say I'm so glad I have invested my life in those individuals, and there's some people who have hurt me. It happens. But you never know what's inside a person until you take the time to get to know them. And prejudice never gives you that opportunity. Children don't look at color. Children don't look at race. Children don't look at social status. Children just realize that they either love or don't like each other. And they switch back and forth very quickly. Children teach us a great deal about how to see the person, the real person. And I am grateful for them for that. Children also know what they can and cannot do, and they know when to ask for help. I love watching a child trying to tie their shoelace in that universal look that all children have, the tongue, you know? Make it better when you chew on your tongue. And the smile when they say, "I have accomplished this," but they know that there are things they can't do. They couldn't cut up an apple as a child, and they'd hand the apple to me, and they were so grateful when I did it. Most importantly, it blesses my heart when I see a child hold up his or her arms saying, "I'm tired," or "I'm sick," or "I'm lonely. Will you carry me?" Children know when they need someone to help them. And somewhere along the line, we have lost that, and I believe part of our going back to a child means that we have to learn to look at God and say, "God, this is something I can't do. Can you hold me? This is more than I can handle. Can you love me? I can't do this anymore. I need your help." In 1988, Robert Fulghum wrote a small book entitled "All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." It was as the words that he wrote back then were as true then as they are now in 2013. I'm going to read these words now, and I would like you to think about how life would be if we followed his example, the things that we learn in kindergarten. He writes, "Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate mountain, but there in the sandbox at nursery school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found it. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the tiny seed in the plastic cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and no one knows how or why, but we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the plastic cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the book about Dick and Jane and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all. Look. Everything you need to know is in there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics and sane living. Think of what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk at 3 o'clock every afternoon, then lay down in our blankets for a nap. Or if we had a basic policy in our nations to always put things back where we found them, and we cleaned up our own messes. And it is still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is better to hold hands and stick together. Now we can say, gee, up to this point, that's a real sweet, syrupy sweet message, but it has nothing to do with Christianity. With that, I would disagree. It has everything to do with Christ. When Jesus was teaching his disciples that day, there was a children nearby, there was a child nearby, and children were not seen in very high regard. They were noisy. They were argumentative. They were always asking for things. They couldn't hold down a job. They couldn't do anything productive. So people pushed them away and said, grow up. But instead, Jesus said to his disciples and to us, no, you need to grow down. You need to become like this child, trusting, loving, and caring. This is the second church in which I've pastored that had a preschool. And I know the costs of preschool. Cost air conditioning, cost heating, costs labor, keeping the carpets clean and the walls clean and all those things. There are the supplies and the hiring of staff. But it's worth it. It really is worth it. At the former church that had a preschool, they had a carpet that was worn out from years of use of the preschool there, and they put in a new carpet. Then they had a preschool celebration where they invited the parents and the children, and they had punch. And as soon as they get, you know what happened. As soon as they gave punch to the children right there on the carpet, and one of the trustees just sat there, did this. And I pulled the trustee aside and said, that's not a stain. That's a sign of love. Every mark, every stain, every sound, every smell that is left behind with one of these children is a sign of love. That this church cares enough to invest itself in the lives of those children. And those children care enough that they run to class. You don't see that in high school, but you see it in preschool. They run to class. I am grateful for their smiles, for their laughter, for every song sung, every spot on the wall, and the wonderful sounds of feet as they run up Thank you. I just washed my mouth and can't do a thing with it. These children give me joy, and they've made me feel young again. It also makes me a little jealous that they have something I don't have anymore. But I trust that God will allow me to become more childlike, not childish, childlike, more trusting, more full of wonder, less prejudicial, and more in love with my brothers and sisters. And let's be honest, friends. Wouldn't it be a wonderful place if we, the whole world, had cookies and milk at 3 o'clock every afternoon, then lay down with our blankets for a nap? What if we had a policy in our nations where we put everything back where we found them and cleaned up our own messes? And our children have taught us that it is true, no matter what your age, we're to go out into the world, hold hands, and stick together. Shall we pray? God, we simply ask that you humble us and allow us to become like these children. We don't care what people think or feel about what we wear or how we sound. But God, we ask that we might become as these children. But we realize we really do need one another. We are motivated by love. Humble us. Help us to grow in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.